But let's move on now to our big discussion this evening. COVID soaring in poll-bound states, should campaigning restrictions actually remain? What we can do right now is actually bring you some of the data, and this is important data to give you an idea district-wise of some of the states. So how many districts are above 10% positivity rate in poll-bound states? 15% of states, of districts in Uttar Pradesh, in other words, 11 of 75, have a positivity rate of more than 10%. That's extremely high. In Punjab, 19 of 22, or a whopping 86%, have a positivity rate of more than 10%. In Goa, both the districts have a positivity rate of more than 10%. In Manipur, 13 of 16. And as you can see, these numbers are frightening. 11 of 13 have a positivity rate of more than 10% in Uttarakhand. So that's a huge concern over there, because India's positivity rate is now overall across the country crossed 20%, which is the highest since mid-May 2021. And in the states that we just showed you, those are the states which are going to poll. So the chances of infection, despite the restrictions which exist, courtesy the Election Commission of India, that's going to be a huge problem. Let's go across to my panelists at this stage. I'm joined by Dr. Chandrakant Dahariya, epidemiologist and health systems specialist. Dr. K.K. Talwar joins me from Chandigarh, member of the COVID task force in Punjab. Dr. Anurag Mehrotra, member of the COVID task force in Uttar Pradesh as well. But first, let me go across to Dr. Dahariya. You know, if you look at these districts and the fact that, you know, you've got so many districts in these poll-bound states registering a positivity rate of above 10%. Firstly, the basic question, is this now a clear indicator that Omicron, which was largely an urban phenomenon restricted to the metros, is now well and truly spread across the country?
So thank you, Mr. Shom. So what we need to remember that this is the first time a few days ago India's INSACOG had said that there is a community transmission.
Right.
And what we know, this is a higher transmission of transmissible virus, which is all across the country. So one thing to remember, the daily new COVID-19 cases is not a parameter. That's right. One. Second part to remember is that India has revised the testing policy, which essentially say that asymptomatic need not to be tested.
Right.
So the people who are being tested are symptomatic, and essentially that would increase the test positivity rate. So putting these two things together, neither the new daily COVID-19 cases nor the test positivity rates are the good parameter to decide policy. We know that people who are symptomatic are being tested, so high test positivity rate. So what we know, that 10% of test positivity rate in this wave is not the same thing as 10% test positivity rate in the previous waves. But that does not mean that we should ignore it. These are important parameters to track the pandemic.
Dr. Lahari, would you say that it's actually much, much more than 10%? 10% is based on the basis of tests. The actual testing is often nowhere. It's a fraction of what the real numbers are.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I'm saying, that we know that because this particular Omicron wave rise very quickly in 2 to 3 weeks, which essentially means that a large proportion of population is getting infected. So the test positivity rate or number of new daily COVID-19 cases are really
the numbers are the same, but it's the trend or the pattern which you believe.
It's the trend and pattern. So
Dr. Lahariya, has Delta effectively, is it effectively on the way out in India? I mean, has it been effectively replaced in India thus far?
So what I know from different sources, this is not available that much in public domain, but various experts are saying that 90% of the samples which are being sequenced are Omicron. So essentially Delta is almost out, and especially in urban settings or even urban districts or major cities, it's completely Omicron. It's the rural settings and other remote districts where it's mainly Delta. But it's very likely that in coming weeks, even rural settings would have Omicron. So I want to make two quick points here. One, that especially we should be keeping a watch on what is happening on TPR or new to COVID-19 cases. But equally important is that we watch on the ICU admission rate and hospitalization rate.
The bottom line. Yeah. I mean, if that's the measure of how many people are falling seriously unwell.
And second quick point here is that considering what we know, that this Omicron wave rise very quickly within 2 to 3 weeks and decline very quickly, that essentially means that a part of the state which is going into polls since, let's say, in early March, We cannot predict anything about that. If they have a high number of cases right now, by the time the wave, the polling time would arrive, they might have a very low number of cases. So we cannot plan
that
for
really
all the
is
parts
the hope.
Of
yeah.
the state.
Okay, 1 second, sir. 1 second. Let me go across to Dr. K.K. Talwar. Dr. Talwar, if we look at, and let's bring up the Punjab numbers once again. Sir, 86%, and these are ICMR numbers, 86% of districts in Punjab, 19 of 22 districts, have a positivity rate of above 10%. How much of a concern is this at this juncture, sir? Is there a worry that in the interim period, this positivity rate in these districts will actually go up? Dr. Talwar?
Thank you so much. As far as, you see, we already know that it's very highly infectious, and the positivity rate is going to be high. It is in community spread, and I'm sure that bigger cities than gradually towns and villages, it is going to happen. I think the main solace comes is that the disease is mostly mild as compared to what we saw in Delta. So I think that's a great kind of a consolation that this virus, this variant, is not that virulent as we saw the Delta issue.
It's not and mild,
of course,
sir.
Now it's all
Omicron. It's actually, it really does hit you, sir. You just need to ask around. It may not be as lethal as Delta, but it's not mild by any means.
You see, Vishnu, I think you must, I just want to submit and that at least we know that only the people who are with the risk factor, elderly, are the group that we need to really concentrate
sure,
to make sure
I take that point.
They are protected.
I actually have a little experience now of Omicron as well. After 2 years of giving it the run, I was sick for the last 10 days, but I'm fine now. It wasn't mild.
I'm just
one person. Anyway, sir, that's not moot to this point over here. I want to go across to Dr. Mehrotra, sir, and let's talk about the UP numbers. 11 of 75 districts, so 15%, not a very high number of districts above the positivity rate. But could that be because the actual testing is lower in Uttar Pradesh, Dr. Mehrotra?
Of course, it is low. But one point I would like to say is, hell would have not broken loose if the election would have been postponed by a month or so, election
right.
commission. We are lucky that this mutant or this variant is not that virulent, though transmissibility is very high. So we are lucky in that. Still, we have seen in our clinical practice, all the patients who are coming, who are being admitted for COVID, are not only clinical judgment, they are not only Omicron. Few patients have shown the sign of Delta. They have cleared the picture in their CT, which was sensitive to Delta. So, in my opinion, all the patients, elderly patients, especially with comorbid conditions, even immunocompromised conditions, should take precaution.
Dr. Mehrotra, the key question is this. We are going into elections. We're going to see the first phase in Uttar Pradesh not too far away. In a situation like this, do you believe that the Election Commission should continue with restrictions on campaigning in the run-up to the polls?
At least they should do one thing. They should allow the person who have got the immunization done to be allowed to participate in the activity. This should be taken care of. All the person, especially elderly person, especially person with comorbid condition, should not be allowed. And they by themselves should take precautions
sure.
around that. And the one more positive point which I have in my mind that I would like to share,
mm-hmm.
because we have very high natural immunity because of the high spread of Delta in earlier wave, so chances of getting severe thing is less, but still for comorbid condition persons and
right.
require utmost care.
Sure. Dr. Lahiria, your thoughts on this? We have political leaders going from house to house. In many cases, people use masks. In many cases, most cases, they don't. We have massive election rallies. We've seen in the Delta wave how tragic that was. Do we not need to learn from the past? Do our political leaders not need to cut down on this? Because, you know, just saying that, oh, it's very mild, it'll all go away. The fact of the matter is people will still fall sick, right? And, you know, we assume in this country that comorbidities are above 60. In fact, anybody can have a comorbidity. And they do in our country.
So I completely agree that these elections, the upcoming elections, cannot be held in a way that there is no pandemic. So there have to be restrictions and measures to reduce the transmission. But having said that, I also don't think there is any urgent need to postpone the election.
Okay.
Only reason, the point when one can say that postpone election, if someone can come up with the answer that is, would be the time when election can be held safely. And we know that while pandemic would be over, the SARS-CoV-2 is not going anywhere. So number of new COVID-19 cases would continue to be reported. I quickly want to bring in the analogy of school closure. Around July 2021, we were hearing that, okay, wait for 1 month or 2 months and then school can be open.
Right.
And then we now know that it's around 6 or 8 months since school have been closed, like open for only a few days. Similarly, the elections, nobody can say with guarantee that when the SARS-CoV-2 transmission would be low level, which would be safe for elections. So in that sense, elections are essentials in the democracy. Election should be held, but with the measures and restriction.
Sure.
And the election commission.
All right. So let's hope that the restrictions do continue. I'm sorry, doctors. I'm out of time on this. I need to wrap this up because I need to move to something which is related to Omicron. And after weeks, there's great news in Maharashtra where schools have started reopening. The question is the worst of Omicron over? Well, cases are clearly on the decline. In Mumbai, for example, 1,857 new cases. That's down 27% in 24 hours. In Mumbai, cases down 91% from the peak. Let's roll these graphics. Mumbai, the daily positivity has declined to 5.41%. And the very good news is that there was 80% attendance in schools run by the Mumbai Civic Body. In private schools, the turnout was lower, however, in some schools, but schools did open in many cases in batches. So the overall numbers over there, quite encouraging. Joining us, Dr. Fazal Nabi, Head of Pediatrics at Jaslok, Dr. Ajinkya Patil, Chairman of the D.Y. Patil International Schools, Anubha Srivastav Sahai, President of the India White Parents Association, and we're also joined by Arav Gupta, a class 11 student. So let's start with the student, as we often do. Arav, was it great to get back to your friends, to get back to school?
Yes, I think it was definitely great to finally go back to school. In fact, our school was taking all the necessary precautions. And I would definitely say that going back to school was a much better experience than having to study online. I mean, if you look at the technical difficulties that we face online and sitting in front of the laptop the entire day actually puts a lot of strain on the eyes too. And actually, especially for 11th and 12th grade students, we also have a lot of applied learning where we have to actually conduct experiments in laboratories and things like that. So I feel like due to online schooling, that's really hindered. So finally going back to school and being able to re-engage in all of these activities has been amazing.
Dr. Patil, how important is it for us to keep reminding ourselves that an education when children actually are physically in contact with each other, their peers, with their teachers, is an important socializing process? It's essential to the growth of a child in as much as textbook education is. And that's what we are missing, perhaps more than just textbook education in our cities. Would you agree?
So I think I completely agree with that. And I'm glad you brought this up because most of the time everyone's discussing statistics and closures and lockdowns, but very little is spoken about the mental health problems that people are going through. Not only children, but the entire ecosystem in the education sector, because it's been greatly disrupted. And if we speak about children who are between the age of 3 to 7, who've never gone to a preschool, who've never been in an environment, so they're completely alien to this culture. So it's really a generation that really hasn't seen a school.
Yeah.
At least the older students have missed out maybe a year or two, but that too is a great sort of disruptor in their lives because it has affected them greatly. We may not speak very openly about it, but education has completely changed. And I think it's very important to get back the children into the school. Extremely, extremely important.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable how children have suffered in all of this. Dr. Fazal Nabi, you know, when we speak about the health of children, we often speak only about vaccines and boosters. And of course, that's critical and protecting ourselves. But what about the mental health of children? In the last 2 years, have you seen children really suffering as a result of possibly not going to school? All sorts of emotional pressures which get dealt with in different ways in schools, perhaps through the process of interaction itself. Is that something which is manifesting itself in problems?
Yeah, definitely. This, my colleagues, everyone watch for this. Every child is going through stress and developmental issues. In my practice, definitely I've seen number of cases coming to us with behavioral, social issues. Writing skills has gone down.
Oh.
And their learning disability has gone down. Communication skill and eye contact, the many issues which we are coming across in our practice.
Yeah.
And recently, for a short time period, they have opened the schools, but children were not happy at all. The reason is they have to travel for 1 hour and then sit in the school for 2 hours without moving, and no playful activities, no open ground activities. They have to sit and listen and come back. It's what children have said in my practice, that it's like a jail. It's not like a school.
I can't agree more. I agree so much with you. In fact, Anubhav Srivastav Sahai, the playground in a school, in all schools, is such an important part of the growth and development, the physical growth, the mental growth of children. Just the fact that our children haven't been able to go to a playground in any meaningful manner is something which has had an impact. Let's face it.
Absolutely. We have to, this time.
Yeah.
We
have I to just be... wanted to put that to Ms. Sahai. Go ahead, Ms. Sahai.
Yeah, definitely. See, apart from studies and all, there are other activities also which students are missing, no doubt. And in most of the schools, especially in Mumbai, we don't have even a playground. You will be surprised to know that in cities like Mumbai and Pune and other cities, schools are not having even playground. So the students are missing playground only during COVID, even before also we have been complaining. But yes, now since schools have been reopened, we want to ensure that the government should ensure that there should be no violation of any COVID protocols, because in cities like Mumbai and Pune, especially in state board schools, there are children. In one class, you will see that there are even 100 children in one class. So if this can turn into super spreaders, so government should reopen the school if they are willing to do in a staggered manner.
Right.
If you're calling 90% children, school having a strength of around 4,000, if 90% children are coming, just imagine what will be the situation in few days.
In fact, that's my next question. And I wanted to take that to Dr. Fazal Nabi. Sir, we've seen very good vaccination numbers for children in the 15 to 18 year old group. How important is it for us to start vaccinating children at a younger age, particularly since we've got some vaccines which have already been given emergency use authorization for the younger age group?
Definitely. If you see the recent data in Mumbai from laboratories, almost nearly two-thirds, 70% of the sample children has given for an antibodies is positive. They got natural infection, they developed an antibodies. But that antibodies is not going to last. Even after infection, their current recommendation is post 3 months after the infection, you should take a vaccination. In younger children, we should encourage. The children who has taken 15 to 18 years, they should encourage their younger siblings and friends. And plus parents and pediatrician, it's a responsibility to encourage the younger children to take vaccination.
Right. Arav, have you got your vaccine, son? Have you got your vaccine? Your first?
Yes, I've actually gotten the first dose. And in fact, our school is also hosting a vaccination camp in this week for all students born after 2007 to come and take their first dose.
Great. And I'm sure you're looking forward to your second dose, getting that out of the way and giving yourself some extra protection. That's important, right?
Yes, I definitely am.
Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. It's a welcome day. The children are back in school. That's where they belong. Thank you all very much for being with us. Arav, good luck. Thank you all very much. We're going to just bring a couple of questions from our viewers. Dhruv on Akur writes in. He says, we cannot send our children to schools at the cost of our children's health and lives. That is an important perspective. But I think with vaccinations, and hopefully vaccinations for many more kids, our children will be safer. Earlier, Navdeep says, earlier we heard that the third wave would be dangerous for kids. How will opening schools help to prevent it? Those are important questions. But in the case of Mumbai, with the numbers coming down, it's been deemed relatively safe for schools to open. They cannot remain shut forever.